The Jobs to Move America Coalition of Labor, Civil Rights, and Environmental Groups is pushing this model for transit dollars nationwide. Coalition spokesperson Rachel Hennekins.
The Chicago Federation of Labor and other partners within the Jobs to Move America Coalition really wanted to make sure that that money was maximized, that it was used in the kind of the smartest way possible and went the distance for good jobs and for economic benefit to the community. Because after all, it is going to be taxpayer money that's actually funding this purchase of these new rail cars.
The coalition developed the U.S. Employment Plan model to help transit agencies maximize publicly funded train and bus purchases by requiring American job plans from bidding companies. Hennekins says there's a lot of work ahead for Jobs to Move America.
There's a lot more work to do because the CTA is doing this kind of policy with a big purchase, $2 billion, and Amtrak is doing it, and Los Angeles Metropolitan Transportation Authority has also been following suit. But there's hundreds of public transit agencies and cities around the country. There's $5.4 billion a year that's being spent. And what we know right now is that that money isn't being maximized, that a lot of the jobs and the work that's really high value to manufacture these buses or rail cars is happening overseas.
The U.S. Senate is expected to vote on final passage of the Bring Jobs Home Act next
Friday on the front porch. Has arrived for the first full week of this month of August. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. You know that. That's where you go if you want to jump into the chat room. That's where you go if you want to use the pop-up player, the listen live button. Of course, if you're listening on another kind of device, an iThis or a Smart That or an Android, whatever, we recommend the apps from Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And we are at the end of a shortened week, occasioned by my absence for 2 days. And this, is Friday, which is our roundtable evening. We pull together interested parties from all across the country and often from different portions of the world itself. And cuss and discuss whatever is on y'all's mind. It's about what y'all want to talk about far more than what I do. Okay? Good. Now, also, of course, at the Horn homepage is the ever-present PayPal button. That is how we keep all of this on the air. That's how we keep it going. And we try to raise $150 on any given evening. We fell a little bit short last night, but thanks go out early to Irish Dave, who took us down by a big chunk yesterday evening, so that we begin the evening in only a little bit of a hole. Instead of a $150 goal for the evening, we have a $200 goal, and that'll bring us back even for the week as a whole. Now, where to begin? Well, how about where we started last night? Are we or are we not back at war? You know, last night, reporters were noting that things like humanitarian aid packages were being dropped to the Yazidi people, and other reporters were noting that bombs were being dropped on the ISIS people. The White House denied both and then turned around and said, yeah, we're gonna. I think the Pentagon just doesn't like to be one-upped by those pesky journalists. We will tell you we're bombing someone when we decide you need to know that we are bombing someone. Now, it's not much of a laughing matter. We've been sucked back into the hellhole that is Iraq that we created. It turns out that the Iraqi army that we trained is none too ferocious, and the Kurdish army that we said were so fierce aren't. And so we're just going to lob some death from the air at the ISIL or ISIS fighters and hope that they say, oh, look, the Americans are bombing us. I guess we have to leave now. Never mind all that crazy religious ideology that drives us. Oh, well, we've seen the error of our ways, and common sense has ruled the day, and, well, we're just going to pack up and go away. Any Pollyannas out in the Horn family commune think that's going to happen? Because I don't. The Obama administration declared that it made its decision based upon the fact that it had determined that advisors, U.S. military advisors that we had placed in Iraq were being threatened by ISIS fighters and their persistent march on Baghdad. So that is our casus belli, and that is why the bombs are falling. Gosh, it feels like old times. Getting in a war in Iraq that we don't have any business in. Yeah. I don't have an issue with the humanitarian aid being sent to these ZD people. And I guess we see our only alternative as some sort of warfare. Oh, wow. Well, the goddess of irony's on the job, Sparky pointing out in the chat room, to which you are welcome to come in and participate. Sparky, our intrepid, indefatigable chat room moderator, notes, kind of ironic that the bombs are being dropped by planes from the USS George H.W. Bush. Yeah. Ironic. Of course, it's kind of silly that we have an aircraft carrier named the USS George H.W. Bush. That's almost as stupid as having an aircraft carrier named the USS Ronald Reagan. Of course, the Reagan is now thoroughly radioactivated from its response to the Fukushima disaster. Yeah. No, there's no W in it? Okay, Sparky, it's just George H. Bush. They stiffed him out of his W. Ha! Take that, Poppy. George Herbert Bush. Oh, we miss you, Bart Cop. We miss you. No, there's an abundance of... There's an abundance of stories we can get after this evening. And, of course, whatever is on your mind. Oh, where to begin? Oh, I kind of missed this one yesterday. We ran out of time is more like it. Maybe these are just isolated incidents, and shucks, they could happen anywhere. But we'll have to rely on the international component of the Horn Family Commune Congregation, or the it could happen anywhere portion. Is this something that's going to happen, Scott, in Sweden? Michael, Norway? Is this going to happen in Norway? Is this going to happen in Finland? Is it going to happen in Japan? Is it going to happen in Australia? Is it going to happen in the UK? How about France? How about Germany? How about Italy? Spain? The story comes out of Michigan. And it's the story of a man named Isaiah Tweedy, who, along with friends, had been at a restaurant in Delta Township, Michigan. And when they were walking out, a knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing, right-wing, probably Republican, libertarian, teabagging, birther, deather, tenther, booger eater, decided to have a few words with Isaiah Tweedy. Isaiah Tweedy, having heard the words, then turned on the video function of his cell phone.
Say it again.
I said fucking faggot. Want a picture? Take a picture.
Why am I a fucking faggot, sir?
Take a fucking picture. You want to see a picture? You want me to fucking call
you? You can back up.
Take a fucking picture.
I took a video. I'm putting it on Facebook.
I don't care. I'm an American. Are you American?
I'm an American too, honey.
You're a fucking faggot.
I am a fucking faggot.
You guys love America's country. Put you down.
Okay.
Okay.
I love you.
Dumb bastard.
I'm gonna pray for you. I'm gonna pray for you, brother.
No, I'm praying for you.
I'm gonna pray for you.
We pray for you.
Don't belong to us. We don't go to heaven.
I'm gonna pray for you. Have a good day, sir.
I'm praying for you that you change your ways.
Have a good day, sir.
You too.
Have a good day. I'm gonna pray for you. So it's handyman and maintenance. Thank you.
Now, there are several layers to that onion that we can peel, and we can do it at our leisure. First of all, well, it's America, so necessarily it's going to have a religious component, isn't it? Because we are a Christian nation. Yeah. The guy who, then there's no sense in repeating the word, the guy who uses the epithet, the vulgar epithet that they used, and then repeats it for camera purposes. Explains that the person shooting the video needs to be stoned to death according to the Bronze Age tribal customs of some barbarians as written down in the book of Leviticus. People for whom rain was fascinating. And who were absolutely perplexed by wheelbarrows. And, yeah. So, Then we devolve from the effing effort, we devolve into the battle of the I'm a pray for yous. And that really was my favorite part of the video. The guy who wants to stone these people to death, according to the aforementioned barbaric practices of Bronze Age people, then says, you ain't going to heaven, which kind of presumes, I guess, that Dweedledoofus is. Show of hands, please, Romper Room. Show of hands. Who wants to go to heaven with Dweedledoofus? Now, because I don't either. I mean, when you stop to think about who heaven is filled with, yeah, he's going, Jerry Falwell's there, George Wallace is there, Richard M. Nixon is there. Christians, one and all. You want to go? Really? Because I'm inclined to take a pass. So, you know, they're, I'm going to pray for you. Oh, I'm going to pray for you that you'll change your ways. Well, I'm going to pray that you stop being a dumb bastard. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. I'm pray for you. Pray. Live on hay day by day. Pray and pray. There'll be pie in the sky when you die. I might be a little more inclined if the pie was tiramisu. I love tiramisu. So we got that. Yes, Marty. Yes, absolutely. You are correct. Ah, the American people in our full flower. Doesn't it just warm the cockles of your heart? As soon as I find the cockle of my heart, I will let you know. Yeah, I know, Marty. Refresh my memory, Bob, Marty says. Isn't Leviticus in the Old Testament, but isn't the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer's doctrine in the New? Well, yeah, but he did not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. Okay? That's the way that runs. So, anytime that you're average, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christian needs to back up his bigotry, he runs back into the barbaric tribal customs of, you know, the Bronze Age Levant. Oh, well, go figure. Tim from L.A. with an email. Speaking about humanitarian aid, Tim says, I'm kind of leery. Remember when Afghanistan, at the beginning of the illegal war, the U.S. was dropping humanitarian aid to the people? Well, the humanitarian aid was yellow, and so were the unexploded cluster bomblets. And hungry Afghan children thought they were food. When I hear about how the U.S. is giving humanitarian aid, I get a little tinfoil hatty. Imagine what the people in Iraq are thinking. Oh, great. More American help. And, of course, the fact that a lot of these military little not very good armies are sort of dropping their guns and running away, you know, that's not always necessarily a matter of fear. That can be an act of acquiescence or even approval. Because relationships in faraway foreign lands with which we are not particularly familiar can be particularly complex. So, we're going to, oh. And from one hate-mongering weirdo to another, from the last hate-mongering weirdo to the next one, well, of course, who else but, yeah, Ted Nugent. Why not? It's Friday. Asa answering my question in part. He said, Bob, I noticed you didn't mention Canada in your list of the international contingent and querying as to whether that sort of thing happens elsewhere. And I get sure. I mean, people are hateful and stupid everywhere. But Asa does let us know, yeah, it happens. It happens in Canada, too. And I think that's probably because we've spread the disease. This particular story, anti-gay group sneaks into Vancouver Pride Parade, hands out 2,500 fake condoms with hateful letters. Charming. Oh, brother. Marty asking, do you really hate us all that much that you have to inflict the nuge on us? No. This is tough love, Marty. Don't worry, there's no audio. The Nuge is apparently on tour through the upper Midwest. You'll recall he received protest in Wisconsin, and then yesterday he gave a tongue-lashing to some Native Americans who protested him in South Dakota, where he was putting on a show. Of course, he's still a bit pissed off at having been disinvited to the Coeur d'Alene Tribe's casino in Worley, Idaho. After that, three more concerts have bitten the dust. No, we're not interested in having the Nuge. And that's in large part because of pressure from Native American groups. And, yeah, I guess the Nuge has a Facebook page. Interestingly, the Raw story that I'm looking at has him wearing a photo of him wearing an Indian war bonnet of some sort, or such as it's called, also known as dressing in red face now. He's been wearing that and a loincloth for a very long time. So anyway, protesters from the United Urban Warrior Society in Rapid City, South Dakota, showed up at Sturgis, South Dakota, at an event. And yeah, the Nuge was not happy. He had to get on his little Facebook page to get it all out of his system. We are on our jet now heading for Toledo Rib Fest Jam after an insane, incredible, out-of-body ultra rockout at the Full Throttle Saloon in Sturgis, South Dakota. Yeah, he's down to playing little bars. Simply astonishing gig. Four stinky-ass, unclean, dipshit protesters that admitted they hate me and all white people that stole their land bullshit. See, it ain't me they hate. They hate all Americans that produce and live the American dream. Simply insane. According to the David Edwards story, Raw story, one commenter noted, maybe the natives should have had better weapons. And the Nuge said, yeah, less peyote, less whooping and hollering. Jesus. God bless the USA. Organizers of the protest said, sure, Nugent has a right to free expression under the First Amendment, but no matter what your political views, every citizen also has a right, and in a democracy, a civic responsibility, to protest bigotry and intolerance. That's why we're urging everyone to add their voice, speak out, and join in protest of the appearance of this man and his vile stream of hate speech in our community. I mean, yeah, I mean, he can, why not just, I mean, the teabaggers will hire him. Let him just work the teabag circuit. That should keep him in, I don't know, new firearms for the rest of his miserable life. Now, see, Marty, that wasn't so difficult, was it? There was no audio of him screeching or screaming, no. So that was South Dakota on the way to Ribfest in Toledo. Ribfest and Jam. So how about a little swing south to Monroe, Georgia? Down in Monroe, Georgia, they got themselves a little old Hindu temple. It's the Vishwabhavan Mandir Temple. Yeah. Well, somebody doesn't like the Vishwabhavan Mandir Temple. Or somebody's. That's, after all, Georgia. So they took their cans of spray paint and went to the temple and spray painted vulgarities and ha-ha and LOL all over the walls. They also broke into the outbuilding where the relics are kept and tore out the icon of Shiva and painted it completely black. I hate it when they work in symbology that isn't immediately apparent, whose meaning isn't immediately apparent. It is the second such assault on the Vishwabhavan Mandir Temple. The temple has also had its air conditioners ruined a year ago. Kelly Damar is a member of the temple. She said, as soon as I saw it, I was just devastated. I was in tears because this is like another home for me. Now, interestingly, it wasn't just the Vishwabhavan Mandir temple that got attacked. They also took a run at some trailer homes and the Kingdom Hall of the local Jehovah's Witnesses. The Jehovah's Witnesses, I think it's just young kids messing around. Well, the ha-has and the LOL might point toward that. On the other hand, the members of the Hindu temple are not taking it quite so sedately. The Hindu American Siva Communities group says, the desecration of the Lord Shiva statue was significantly heartbreaking for the Hindu community in Georgia, as it is the main deity of worship. Across the country, we find many mandirs, temples, do not actively voice their concerns other than file a police report. What a way to wrap up the week. Jim says, another night of the broken glass, November 38, all over again. Does kind of have that flavor, doesn't it? Let's run out to Kansas, Stan, shall we? Yeah, my mind kind of went there, too, and I'm about halfway ashamed of myself, Marty. Marty notes, except for the rest of the vandalism, I'd have thought the Vandals were Rolling Stones fans since they painted Shiva black. I see an idol and I want to paint it black. Okay, that's enough singing for tonight. Yeah, you're right, Marty. The Nuge flying a private jet from Sturgis, South Dakota to Ribfest in Toledo. Yeah, real man of the people, isn't he? And I joke about, well, you know, the rents due on the hangar for the Gulfstream 5 and the cabana boys, and the pool boy has set down his net and Agnes's masseur is giving her dirty looks. I mean, Jesus. No, let's go to Kansas, Stan. Why not? The candidate for the Kansas Republican 3rd Congressional District, the District Committee Vice Chairman, rather, not the candidate, but the Vice Chairman of the Kansas Republican 3rd Congressional District Committee, has, he's just behaving like Republicans behave. We're talking about Gavin Elzey. Gavin Elzey has, of course, a Twitter account. Gavin, GAVINGOP. Gavin, GOP. At Gavin, GOP. And something just got hold of poor old Gavin. And he said on Twitter, and this is a quote, offending Muslims is the duty of any civilized person, especially with a .45. That means especially with a .45, which means especially with a .45 caliber handgun. Yeah, Gavin Elzey wants to start shooting Muslims with a .45. Then, of course, came the inevitable walk back from Gavin Elzey, who said, sometimes you overreact. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I sure wouldn't shoot anybody. I don't even own a gun. Aw, come on, you're a Republican. Don't lie. Unless you're like a convicted felon and can't own one or something, Gavin. He is the vice chairman of the Kansas Republican 3rd Congressional District Committee. Who are now on the run. The Kansas Republican Party has no responsibility for... See, deny the responsibility first. And the Kansas Republican Party has no responsibility for or connection to the public statements of private citizens who perform occasional volunteer work for the party. The Republican Party in no way shares Mr. Elzey's sentiment, if anybody's watching. Or something like that. Yeah. America, America, God sheds his grace on thee. and hides the pines with billboard signs from sea to oily sea. Now, that's George Carlin, isn't it? Back to Georgia. Yeah. Why not? Actually, that these long pauses you could drive a truck through are occasioned by the misbehavior of the production computer. There we go. No, not Georgia. I'm sorry. Missouri. You know, next door to Kansas. It is the sad story of a pair of youngsters, 21-year-old Mackenzie Halinski and 20-year-old Cole Campbell. Story in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Happened in Festus, Missouri. No, there really is a Festus, Missouri. ...21-year-old Mackenzie Halinski and 20-year-old Cole Campbell were drinking and smoking weed one day when they decided to have some fun with Cole Campbell's makeshift shooting range down in the basement of his house, where of course he had a Confederate battle flag on the wall. Yeah. And back on June the 24th, Cole Campbell was teaching Mackenzie Halinski how to protect freedom, because Wolverines! Right? And that's when he explained to Mackenzie that one of the guns was unloaded and said, "Here, shoot me." But it turns out the gun was loaded, and she shot him in the forehead. Apparently the lessons had been coming along nicely. The reason this is a news story right now is that this past Wednesday, Mackenzie Halinski was sentenced to 7 years in prison in the state of Missouri, Stan. At her sentencing, she said, "I didn't know anything about guns." Now, Cole Campbell was a sure enough freedom protecting the Second Amendmenter. Bunch of Facebook photos on his page displaying delineating his abiding fascination and perhaps fetishization of firearms. But the part of the story that kind of grabbed me was, I guess, a sidelight. The St. Louis County Bomb and Arson Unit, after this event transpired in June, had to be called in, because there in the makeshift shooting range in the basement were things that were described as suspicious items by St. Louis County authorities. Later on, the suspicious items would in fact be referred to as pipe bombs. Pipe bombs. Otherwise known as improvised explosive devices. And by the way, when after she shot Cole Campbell, and the cops showed up, Mackenzie Holinsky wouldn't even so much as give the police her name. Meanwhile, you get photos on Facebook of Cole Campbell standing in front, down in the basement, standing in front of a shelf that has the American flag hung upside down, you know, the flag distress symbol. Your teabaggers like to do that a lot, along with their Gadsden flags, you know, because we're being ruled by a Kenyan Muslim dictator. He shot a selfie of himself in camo fatigues, holding a rifle with a banana clip and wearing a full black, full-face ski mask. Neighbors said that he liked to lay in bed and shoot at targets down in the basement. Mackenzie Holinsky was charged with first-degree involuntary manslaughter. Because, you know, if this young man hadn't had a basement full of guns and pipe bombs, well, freedom probably would have died. Naturally, the National Republican Rifle Association has not issued a statement on this. Of course not. Hey, a nice little group going on in the chat room right now. Good evening, Anatole. Good evening, Jan and John and Jug of Punch and Kathy and Stockton Larry and Texas T and Texas Betsy and Tim from L.A. and Truth Seeker. Good evening, one and all. Come on by. If you want to hang out with a bunch of fun, cool people and carry on during the program, head on radionetwork.com/chatroom. Oh, by the way, remember when we were talking about the Yazidi people last night and I mentioned the fact that wild-eyed Muslims, you know, fundamentalists, wild-eyed Muslim fundies, not that far dissimilar from wild-eyed Christian fundies, that they, for about the past 700 years, have periodically tried to commit genocide against the Yazidi people. Because why? Why? Because the Muslim fundies think that the Yazidi people, who worship an aspect of the divine called the Peacock King, well, the Muslims think that those are devils. See, this is the trouble you get into with religion. Because once you've created one imaginary being, you're free to commit others, and it's always good for good to have evil against which to be balanced. So if you're going to create good gods, you have to create bad devils, and next thing you know, somebody's worshiping devils, and you got to put them on, and you got to starve them to death on a mountaintop. Remember, the Sunni ISIS forces think the Yazidis are devil worshippers, right? We've got that. I mean, they're rock solid, okay? Rock solid? Good. I mean, it's kind of important.
Now, he's taking us right back into Iraq, fighters dropping bombs even as we speak, and we'll talk about why President Obama now has decided to go back into Iraq, and it's because ISIS, the Muslim militants, are slaughtering devil worshippers. So President Obama...
You get that? That, of course, is proud son of Stanford University, Brian Fisher. I mean, is it, please, will somebody, I mean, is there like a Stanford Community College? Or, I mean, I used to have some respect for that institution. But that's Brian Fisher over there to the American Family Association, who is agreeing with the ISIS militant, rebel, whatevers, killers, to the fact that the Yazidi people are devil worshippers. He didn't say the ISIS army is killing people they think are devil worshippers. No, no, no. Brian Fisher just jumped right in bed with the ISIS fighters.
As we speak, and we'll talk about why President Obama now has decided to go back into Iraq, and it's because ISIS, the Muslim militants, are slaughtering devil worshippers. So President Obama, we'll get to the details as the program develops, President Obama bringing the full weight of the American military into Iraq now, after months and months and months of begging from the Iraqi government, now he's going in there because devil worshippers are under attack. When Christians were under attack, they've been fleeing for months, they've been beheaded, they've been crucified by the side of the road, they've been told to convert, submit, or die. When they convert, their wives are taken to become Islamic wives for the Muslims who have forced them to submit. And nothing from this White House. Miriam Ebrahim, Christian woman in a rat hole of a prison in Sudan, shackled to the wall, forced to give birth in this prison. Shackled to the wall. Nothing from President Obama. Saeed Abedini, Iranian pastor in a hellhole of a jail prison in Iran. Nothing from President Obama. But they go after devil worshippers. All of a sudden, the entire weight of the United States government sent in there to relieve them and to avenge them. So we'll talk about that more as the program develops. Those are.
What a damn shame we don't have the more part of that clip. Because, yeah. Yeah, see? Yeah, Marty. Yes, absolutely. Marty with an email. So Brian Fisher is a fan of ISIS? It figures. Yeah, it does figure. What have I said for all these long, long years? There's not a nickel's worth of, it's not Islam versus Christianity versus Judaism versus Hinduism versus it's fundies versus fundies versus fundies versus fundies. The slaughter and butchery that is taking place in Gaza right now is being performed by the Israeli right wing. The people dancing around artillery shells. Right wing. Right wing is fundy. The ISIS people, fundies. Brian Fisher, friend of ISIS, fundy. Tastes great, less filling. No, tastes great, less filling. Die, heretic! See how it works? Here a fundy, there a fundy, everywhere a fundy fundy. Let's go to Alabama, Stan, shall we? The Mobile County Commission has approved a privately funded plaque in Government Plaza in Mobile. Oh, let me back up. Let me clear that. Oh, yeah, Kath Cass from Canada wants to know, what is this audio? Now the president supports devil worshippers? Yeah, that's Brian Fisher of the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi stand. He, of course, is a follower of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer, and itinerant, semi-literate rabbi. Mm-hmm. It really, that is an American siding with fundamentalist headloppers declaring that the Yazidi people are devil worshippers. See, trying to define someone by the invisible friend that they worship becomes, troublesome very early on, or convenient if you just want to go lopping some heads and starving some children and blasting them in their beds and that kind of thing. Anyway, back to Alabama Stan. So, the Mobile County Commission has given its approval for a privately funded In God We Trust display at Government Plaza in Mobile. Yeah. On the other hand, pagan, universalist, and atheist request for a similar plaque was voted down by the score of 2-1. The Mobile atheists wanted their plaque to read, In Reason We Trust. The universalists wanted one that said, Coexist. The pagans wanted, In Goddesses We Trust. Oh, God damn it. No. Especially no goddesses. Because the one true monotheistic God is male, and we ain't gonna have no goddesses. None of that feminine wisdom divine that, no. That's devil worship. And we ain't going to be coexistent, neither. That's probably that coexist. It's got that crescent moon of Islam in it, and yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, at the hearing, the Mobile County Commission had all kinds of people stood up to speak, including Dean Young, who is a former congressional candidate, apparently, according to Josh Kilburn over at Americans Against the Tea Party. Dean Young said, This is not a Muslim nation. This is a Christian nation. Our national motto is the national motto, and we shouldn't put random statements by random groups on the wall. Aristotle's ashes just vomited a little bit. I mean, follow that reasoning. This is not a Muslim nation. This is a Christian nation. Our national motto is the national motto. You can't argue with that line of reasoning now, can you? We shouldn't put random statements by random groups on the wall because, you know, if you're a Christian group, you're not random. You're American. Southern by the grace of God. That's when a Purple Heart recipient from the United States military stood up and said, Given that our 100% godless constitution and treaties are the supreme law of the land, those who claim we are a Christian nation might have some difficulty explaining our very first treaty, the law of the land, which explicitly declares in its first sentence, the government of the United States is in not any sense founded on the Christian religion. Hey, you remember Pastor Rick Wiles from yesterday who wants Ebola to get to the United States so it'll wipe out all the atheists and homosexuals? Enter David Preston, who also doesn't like atheists. I come before you as a conservative Baptist, a civil libertarian. Now, everybody here on this question probably has some kids or has had kids, and y'all know what it's like when they get upset. When you let one child do something and the other whines and throws a fit, they lose interest when you let them do it. But he had the civil libertarian Baptist, conservative Baptist, had a larger point. He said, let them atheists and coexisters and utilitarianists or whatever they are, let them have their plaque. Put the plaque up, dang it. Put it up. Because, see, they don't really want to put the plaque up. They want you to tell them they can't have the plaque. They want the denial so they can make a bigger fuss. So the utilitarianists lost, and the coexisters lost, and the pagans lost, and the atheists lost. And Mobile County Commission President Connie Hudson said, if any other motto is added, that would give credence. Until then, the commission will not deal with any other plaques. We're going to have one plaque down here in Government Plaza in Mobile. We're going to have one plaque. It's going to say, in God we trust. We ain't trusting no goddesses. We ain't trusting no reason. Ain't no reason going on in here. I mean, it's pretty obvious we don't trust no reason. We going to trust God. Isn't that just charming? No, it's not, is it? Not at all. Tim from L.A. with a note. Speaking of Ted Nugent, Bob, Republicans are not only amosexuals and gundamentalists, Tim. Don't forget the gundamentalists. They are also racists, especially shitbags like Ted Nugent. Nugent said at the Bighorn Basin Tea Party meeting. Oh, dear. I know I'm speaking your language. I know nothing I've said surprises you except maybe the insane depth of this self-inflicted curse of apathy. We have bent over since World War II because we couldn't believe that good, the universally celebrated good of America, crushed the universally understood evil of Japs and Nazis. We couldn't believe that government represented us in good over evil could possibly turn on us. They've turned on us. They've literally turned on us. Ranchers being arrested because of gerbils on their range, or some families arrested because the EPA claims they're building a barn on a wetland where for 200 years of satellite documentation, no moisture. Really? Really, Ted? 200 years of satellite documentation? That's going to come as a shock to Yuri Gagarin. Tim notes the term Jap is not reserved for the Japanese during the war, but a pejorative used against Japanese Americans because we looked like the enemy, even though we proved that we were loyal U.S. citizens by volunteering to go to war, unlike Nugent, who shat his way out of Vietnam. My father, says Tim, my uncles and aunts, my people, were all called Japs, and even though Nugent may defend his idealism by saying he was directed to the Japanese in Japan, it rebounds back to us because we still look like the enemy. Oh, and if we were going to go to war with a country in Africa, would Nugent call all that enemy the N-word? I doubt it, but he feels comfortable with Japs, as do the rest of the Republican National Committee. And, you know, look at that. See, he uses a racial epithet for Japanese people in that quote, but he uses Nazis for the Germans. Okay? Well, you know, we fought the Italians, too, and they weren't Nazis. They were Italian fascisti. Right? So it should either be evil of nationalistically inspired autocratic warlords in Japan and Nazis, or it should be Japs and Huns, and a couple of other but, well, wait, we're hair-splitting. Nugent's an idiot. A note coming in from Luta on the 20-year-old idiot's upside-down hanging American flag. Luta says, Bob, teabaggers can't hang upside-down flags. That's our thing. Most native houses have an upside-down flag. Damn posers stealing our style. Well, and you know what? Native peoples have a right to that. Straight up. But some 20-year-old privileged kid who can't even get out of bed for target practice in his basement? Yeah, I'm not sensing the distress there, are you? Oh, and thanks very much to Jack. Jack got us started this evening. We're down to $180 to go in our fundraising goal. Much appreciated, Jack. Much appreciated indeed. A question coming in from Jim. I mentioned what a historical treasure trove Jim can be. He has put his study to good use in the course of his days and years. But Jim had a question. He said, how could they remove that horror behind that impoundment dam down in western Raleigh County? He's talking about Brushy Fork or the Shoemate Dam, you know, $7 billion in Brushy Fork and $2.3 billion in Shoemate. How could they remove that horror behind that impoundment dam? Talk about the labors of Hercules. Jim says it's very frightening, not to mention half the state is being blown to hell with impunity. I don't know, Jim. But I know we have to figure out how. We have to figure out a way. Because if those things just sit there, I mean, the dams are made of dirt and rock. Compacted soil. It is not going to be there for eons. But the problem is they are far more interested in getting the coal out of the ground and the profit into the bank than they are dealing with the contemporaneous human rights disasters that they create along the way. And that's the way extraction industries and hydrocarbon industries and a hell of a lot of industries work in this country. Hey, we can make some money. Do you think we might hurt anybody in the process? Screw it if we do! Look at the money! Oh, shit, yeah. No, Jim, I get it. Pump it away and take it where? Who do we dump that on? Now, bear in mind, the coal industry says that it can figure out a way to pump CO2 gas underground and keep it there. But part of the reason the sludge dams exist is that we used to pump coal waste into old coal mines, and that turned out to poison people. But they're not even interested in trying, Jim, and that's what's scary. Yeah, Jim noting, as I said, it's very frightening, not to mention half of this state is being blown to hell with impunity. And ammonium nitrate and fuel oil explosives, too. And the half that isn't being blown to hell is being fracked to hell. Luda says, Bob, it hurts my feelings that in Merca, Ted Nugent has been saying some very racist things about natives lately, and hardly an eye has been batted. But the country will go viral about him calling them Japs. No one ever cares or a shit about us until you call a white person an immigrant. Then all of a sudden, they're miraculously 1/16th Cherokee, Merca. Well, Luda, I like to think that I at least to address those issues. And I guess it's not a miracle, but yeah, I am. That's a story for another program. Her name was Loney. The thing is, Luda's right. The governor of Oklahoma's daughter got called out for working in red face, and her response was to insult the people whom she insulted in the first place. Some more. The ongoing dispute over the Washington NFL football team's motto. Or the guy who literally wore red face to opening day at the Cleveland baseball team's season, its home opener. Well, I'm just doing this as a matter of respect. Oh, really? You want to respect? Then wash your face. You be you, we'll be us. And I'm not saying we as in we. I'm saying this dialogue. No, because truly I am pale. Lots of commentary on that on the Facebook page. So here we are at the end of the first hour of the program. And we'll take a little break. Oh, by the way, well, before talk about being a mite paranoid. Mo Brooks is a member of Congress from Alabamistan. And well, Mo Brooks is worried about he's worried about Mo Brooks when you get right down to it. I mean, this guy is he represents North Alabama. Mo Brooks does, and is a surefire idiot. Mo Brooks was on Laura Ingraham's radio program. You know, imagine the mind that can conceive this. It was this past Monday when he said that Democrats are making the Republican Party's desire for stronger border security a matter of race. Here's the quote. This is a part of the war on whites that's being launched by the Democratic Party. And the way in which they're launching this war is by claiming that whites hate everybody else. It's part of the strategy that Barack Obama implemented in 2008. Continued in 2012, where he divides us all on race, on sex, greed, envy, class warfare, all those kinds of things. Well, that's not true. Huh? The funniest part of that, though, as they note at Talking Points Memo, is that Mo Brooks wasn't actually responding to anything Barack Obama did, but instead to Ron Fournier, asshat, from over to the National Journal, who said that the GOP has become the party of white people. Never having learned the first law of holes, apparently. You know, when you're in one, stop digging. Mo Brooks continued to blather on to Laura Ingram. Democrats, they have to demagogue on this and try to turn it into a racial issue, which is an emotional issue rather than a thoughtful issue. If it becomes a thoughtful issue, then we win, and we win big, and they lose big. Here's the fun part. When he said it, Laura Ingram said to him, this idea of a war on whites is a little out there. A little out there is a direct quote, to which Mo Brooks responded, well, that's what they're doing, Mo. Oh, sweet Jesus. Meanwhile, Laura Ingram somehow enticed Pat Buchanan to declare that we need a moratorium on immigration. Well, just because he's Pat. So a gentle reminder, it is Friday on the front porch. Time to get the Friday on the front porch gang together. If you want to be a part of it, just send a contact request to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, who is the Never Missed a Friday Night monitor and moderator of the Horn Malloy Skype chat group, and you'll be part of the roundtable discussion of ordinary, extraordinary people. A random sampling of the folks who keep our betters happy by carrying them on their backs. So, hey, Mo Brooks, this is for you. This is The Horn, HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. $180 to go in fundraising this evening. We'll be back.
Your friends see, will it ruin your reputation?
Yeah, that pretty much sums up Mo Brooks. It's Friday on the Front Porch on the Horn, 11 minutes past the hour of 7 p.m. here in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. Good day, good evening, good morning, good afternoon to you, wherever and whenever you are listening and participating in the community. Let's see. Yep, it is Friday on the Front Porch time. Check in with the early beginnings of the Friday on the Front Porch. Extraordinary, ordinary roundtable panel. Good evening, Sparky.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Sergi said he's going to be here, so he must be busy with something at the moment.
Ah, okay. Okay, that makes sense.
So, anyway, I got blue skies today.
No smoke skies?
It's blowing all towards Idaho.
Well, that's...
Where they have more forest fires.
Right.
And also, I looked the wind map at, checked the wind map. It's a really cool app. Just put in your Google wind map, and the first thing you see, click on it. Gives you the map of the United States, and it'll show you the wind, which ways the wind's blowing all over the United States.
Oh, cool.
So all the fires in Oregon, there's like four big fires in Oregon. There's like five in Washington. And there's some in Idaho, one in Wyoming. So the West Coast is, I mean, Northwest has got our problems.
Well, and then, I mean, it really is fire season.
And then we get fire weather alert for Sunday night and Monday, which means dry lightning strikes again.
Nice.
And the way they took off this year, like I say, it's Mother Nature's A-bomb. When you look at the horizon and you see a big mushroom cloud rising up over the mountains, you know there's a forest fire that's going to beat the band.
I can't imagine. I simply can't imagine. We had a forest fire on the mountain up here 14 years ago, and even that was just bizarre. So something of that magnitude is beyond my ability to comprehend.
I got a ringside seat in 2008 when the Motion Fire burned from Shasta Dam all the way through the foothills above Redding.
Ugh.
The C-130s out of Sacramento were flying right over the roof of our building we were working on, heading straight for the fire. We could see the fire burning, racing across the side of the hillside. You could see the trees exploding as it got close because the tree heats up and gets so hot that it forces all the pitch out of the tree.
Yeah.
And the pitch just ignites and the tree just explodes.
Jeez.
Into flames.
And on the other hand, I mean, talk about a world of extremes. So much of the western United States is on fire. Meanwhile, Hawaii is battening down the hatches, getting slammed by two hurricanes, which has never occurred before in recorded memory. I saw a little bit of footage last night showing the first of the two hurricanes. I mean, I guess they're typhoons in the Pacific, but you know, approaching
yes.
Hawaii. You know, the airport, all flights in and out were canceled, but the airport was still open. And I guess people trying to fly from the Big Island to Oahu, whatever, were stuck.
Ish. And they got a primary election going on tomorrow.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I was watching the news conference earlier, and the state attorney general said they were planning to go ahead with it, but some of the evacuation shelters also double as polling places.
Well, maybe that'll help with get out the vote. I mean, you're already there.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, Sergi.
Hey, Sergi.
Oh, yeah. And hey, Will. Yeah. And hey, John.
Hey, Bob. John, hopefully the people in Hawaii will be all right. Here we are having a mild version of our polar vortex that sent things into insane territory this winter. So we are in the dog days of August, and we do not see a 90 in sight. I guess this is what is called global climate change, unless you believe Mr. Nugent, who, I, as far as I'm concerned, can do the Wango Tango with an Orango Tango, but at least one primate is slumming a great deal in that scenario.
Meanwhile, down here in Texas-tan,
yes,
we're sweltering under a heat advisory. Right now, it is currently about 100 degrees with a dew point in the 60s. Some places in North Texas got dew points in the 70s, so it feels more like 110.
Yummy. Okay, this is an awkward silence.
Yep. I was going to say that based on several of the stories you shared earlier, Bob, I made an observation in our chat room at the Horn. And remember, you can join in the Horn chat room as almost as easily as you can donate to the Horn, that the GOP seems to reach a new bottom and then breaks out the steam shovels and other industrial equipment.
Then gets digging again, yeah.
Deeper. Yes, I mean, at this point, instead of ending up in China, I expect them to dig their way into some sort of alternate, bizarro world, where they actually feel home. And I'd be glad to fill the tunnel up after them. Oh. Oh.
I was just checking our weather. It's only 97.
Okay.
It was kind of rainy and cool and gray here today.
25% humidity. And no smart metering going on.
Oh, yay. You got smart metered yesterday. So you got the house cooled back down again?
Oh, yeah. It's an ice box. Just like the wife likes it. I hate this heat.
I can get pretty upset.
I said, You've been living in it for 40, 50 years. I know, but I can't get used to it anymore.
We had, I guess, maybe a total of 2 weeks of, you know, well, I mean, it was 92, 93, 94 degrees here in the studio a couple of times. And, yeah, it's ugly. It's brutal.
Yeah, August is when we get up into the high teens, like 117, 118. So I'll take 97 anytime.
Fortunately, around here, despite the heat and the heat advisory, one of the positive things about living in a place that has rainforest-style summers is that a good number of those days, you know, that humidity and heat will pop out thunderstorms. And thunderstorms, there's scattered storms around the area today. Lots of air is getting much-needed rain. And an outflow boundary just passed right over Fort Worth, so it actually dropped a couple of degrees, which felt real good. It went down from 102 to 100. Yay.
Oh, I just got an update from our buddy, the Angry Indian. Do you remember the story? Was it last night or the night before? About the guy who drove up and shot his 19-year-old daughter's boyfriend and was a member of the, it was in Oklahoma, Stan. Yeah, the man and his wife were 24-year veterans of the Tulsa Police Department. They had thrown their daughter out and taken her to a homeless shelter as an act of tough love, and then she hooked up with this young man, and they were trying to see if they could build a life together when Daddy drove up in his SUV and blew away the young man. And there were a few details that were missing. Well, anyway, our buddy the Angry Indian has verified, yes, in fact, the young man in question was not as pale as the two Tulsa cops. Really not as pale. So they Daddy blew him away for being the wrong color from his daughter that he'd already thrown out of the house.
Oh. The stories get weirder and weirder.
Well, this country, Sparky, is getting meaner and meaner.
I see. There was an alert. I guess they're having road rage in L.A. again. There was a blurb that the Highway Patrol was investigating a vehicle-to-vehicle shooting. Remember when that was all happening quite a bit, a couple decades ago?
Was it that?
About the same time as going postal.
Yep.
So I guess we're just going back into a cycle again.
Well, is it cyclical or is it getting worse?
Well, it's getting worse because there's more guns than there was 20 years ago. I blame it on that.
And I guess Larry has joined the conversation.
I'm trying to get him in now. You just got
the problem isn't so much Don's themselves, like the number of guns, because if you look at countries like Canada, they have more guns per capita. The Swiss have a lot of guns. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's required by law in Switzerland.
Well, that's because
the Czech Republic has a lot of guns. The difference is their gun culture is not as, what's the word I'm looking for?
Bloodthirsty.
Violent, bloodthirsty is a good word.
Well, and we can, Sergi, we can understand it also when you express gun ownership and break it out, long gun versus handgun, shotgun versus handgun, that sort of thing. We got a lot more handguns. Now, see, and I've said this before, and I've occasionally gotten some pushback from folks in cities, but out in rural parts of America, it's not at all strange to see for somebody to have a 12-gauge or a 410 or a 22 or, a 30-06 for deer hunting, whatever, and, for varmints and things like that. And they're really big, and up until open carry Texas started trying to weird out the country, nobody took them to Walmart. And because they're big, it's hard to conceal them so that you can sneak up on somebody and, murder them. The handgun proliferation is the biggest part of the problem. Easily portable, easily obtained, and easy to use on other humans. I mean, Mr. Kepler, Officer Kepler, I doubt, pulled a 30-06 out and put crosshairs on, young Mr. Lake.
Yeah, and you don't use handguns to hunt deer.
Right. I did know one hardcore guy one time who had a small scope on a .357 mag and used it to go cougar hunting out west.
I used a 1922 model Winchester single shot .22 today to on a varmint.
Yeah.
Am I a bad person?
No. What kind of what kind of varmint?
A ground squirrel.
Oh, now, Sparky, that's just mean. I'm kidding.
Well,
they're
digging holes all over the place.
Yeah.
They're undermining my neighbor's shop building.
No, in the country, you have issues of rabies. And I don't know about where you are, but coyotes in Appalachia have become an absolute scourge.
Now, we do have a few coyotes, but I haven't seen it in the lake lately.
We do have some problems with them in the Chicago area, with an occasional one making its way downtown. Right where I live, we have fox staying in the area that I think the state's going to move shortly. Just that nature seems to find ways to adapt to us. So I think one thing we have to ask is, are we as adaptable as some of the wildlife around us? I feel a lot of people aren't, or at least a lot of people in power aren't.
We got mountain lions down by the river. They're not living in a van, but they took over Dog Island Park a couple years ago.
You just had to do that. They're not living in a van down by the river. Oh, my God, that was good.
Hmm. And the river has lots and lots of kamikaze raccoons. Like to come up on I-5 and get themselves wiped out.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
Mm-hmm. Just in downtown Reading last week when we went up there for a doctor's appointment as you cross over the river, there was a couple of them on the road. Of course, we got this big, in Reading, they got this big, huge park area along the river, so it is an animal magnet.
Oh, they do tend to gravitate toward water.
Mm-hmm. Especially this year. Now, I do have gray squirrels, and tree squirrels I have no problems with. Them ground squirrels are just nasty.
And they're too little to eat.
You know, they're just diggers. They just dig everywhere.
Haley's joined the conversation.
I think.
Hey, Haley.
Hey, welcome.
It's just summer has arrived back in Arkansas. It's hot and humid.
Roasting, are you?
Yes, very much so. But I'm going to enjoy tomorrow.
What's going down?
No big plans, just kind of kicking back from the work week.
Oh, very nice.
Pity we don't get as much vacation time as Congress, 5 weeks.
Oh, yeah. You wonder what kind of mischief they're up to.
If you're retired, you're always on vacation.
Mm. Yep. So, I was going to say, from looking at some of the news today, there was some positive news, and there's a lot of pushback against the water shortage in Detroit. But it's just incredible that we are now having such huge water problems. I mean, the one in Toledo was essentially caused by algae blooms, and the growth of that's predicted for the changing climate. And, of course, we know what happened in West Virginia, where the governor dithered for hours. And I will not be surprised, Bob, if you tell me some of the restaurants are still serving bottled water there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw something on the news ticker this morning that piqued my interest. It was only a ticker, so I didn't get the details, and that's why this is going to end with a question to Duncan, is that I heard that California's, a lot of areas in California are planning to start recycling the wastewater to turn it back into drinking water. Any of that going on in your area of the state, or is it like L.A.?
Well, the state, just all they have to do is give permission to wastewater treatment plants that come up to the standards. I know the one in Shasta Lake City that I worked on, the guys said they couldn't put their water into the drinking water supply, so they had to just dump it into this little creek that flows out to the Sacramento River. But the guy told me it's just pure enough to drink. So that we can put it into the water system,
yeah.
No problem. So it's just
the thing that really gets me. Oh, sorry.
It's just up to the health departments, I would think, because a lot of these sewage treatment plants, depending on the way the plant works, there's a couple different. I found out there's a couple different ways that sewer plants work. There's some that burn off their the methane and stuff, and then the other plants that have bacteria that eats all the bad stuff, and then they treat the water. They aerate it quite a bit too. I didn't get into the exactly how the whole system works, but there's several different ways of doing it.
Yeah, the thing that really gets me about people who's like, ew, that's nasty, recycling the wastewater. You know, whenever I come across anybody with that attitude, I remind them of, okay, remember when you went elementary school, okay, and, you know, the teachers talked about the water cycle and how, you know, water keeps getting recycled and recycled. It's not like any extra water is coming to Earth. The water that's here on Earth right now has been here for millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of years. You know, I always explain to them, you're already drinking recycled wastewater, just naturally recycled. You know, I mean, 69 million years ago, a Tyrannosaur probably pissed in the water you're drinking from that bottle of Fiji, you know.
True, true, true.
Well, remember what W.C. Fields said.
Fish fucking that.
Yeah. And most of the water people in California drink comes out of rivers and lakes and streams that have fish in them.
Yeah, come on in, Fields. The water's fine.
Yes. It's just incredible how some people are so disconnected from the natural world. It's as if there are some people, such as those that you mentioned, who seem to think everything is pure and processed. It isn't. Nature is essentially messy. Everything we eat probably is raised in soil that has passed through umpteen billion earthworms. Darwin actually commented that if it were not for the earthworm churning the soil and making new soil, we would not have fertile fields. It's just add, sometimes I think our industrial society is too disconnected from the world that we depend on.
Well, Will, the precautionary principle really does make sense. The idea that you should check a process to make sure that it actually isn't hurting people before you're in allowed to engage in it is simply common sense. But because we are ruled by not the invisible hand, but the iron fist of the of market capitalism, that doesn't happen. Like I said, somebody with a bunch of money says, hey, I can make more money blowing that mountain up. Oh, really? Well, go ahead.
Yep. And this is.
Yeah, I mean, we'll
continue, Sergey.
And my apologies for stepping on you there. Yeah, you are totally correct, Will, and I see examples of it every day. It's not necessarily just the big examples. It's little examples day to day. Like, I remember, it was a ceremony downtown here in Fort Worth to honor the current chair of the then and still, you know, present and current chair of the Tarrant County Democratic Party, Deborah Peoples. It was this big, you know, ritzy ceremony at the Worthington Renaissance downtown, right, in this big fancy ballroom. And, you know, I don't get to tool around town in an air-conditioned Seville, you know. And it was particularly warm. It was unseasonably warm that day, like in the, 70s, even though it was like the dead of winter. And I go out, I go out to the bus stop and I take the bus. And yeah, I'm wearing my, you know, I don't wear suits, full suits, but I was wearing my button-down shirt and, you know, my, you know, suit slacks and all of that. But yeah, I mean, I'm a dude. I'm a human dude. And I get a, you know, we're bound to get sweaty. You know, I had showered and used deodorant, sure. But, you know, it happens in the Texas heat, especially the humid Texas heat. And it turns out that it was this dude named Edward. This dude named Edward, I mean, just a your typical prissy diva type, you know, who, you know, wouldn't know nature if it slapped him in the face. And, you know, apparently he went and ran to one of the other staff members and was like, oh, I was seated next to Sergey and he smelled, you know, he smelled like sweat. And it's like, God forbid a human being sweats, you jackass. Yes.
Well, Sergey, you understand, sweating is for some of those people, not for, you know, not for the people that God has favored with wealth.
I mean, it didn't surprise me because Ed, you know, he was and still is the type that, you know, he goes and buys Fiji water and Smart water, and this is like, yeah, it's like I drink from the tap because it's just in water, you know.
Well, I had a bit of a dust, not a dust up, but a back and forth yesterday with the New York Times, because they published an op-ed in which a well-meaning individual said that the water had been shut off in Charleston during the Freedom disaster. By the way, I've taken the word industries out of that. Henceforward, all references to that will be the Freedom disaster, because, as it turns out, the freedom of the chemical industry turned out to be a disaster for ordinary people in West Virginia. But, no, the author of the op-ed had made the argument that the water was shut off. And I wrote, to the public editor, and I wound up talking to the op-ed desk and explained to them, he got it wrong. It is factually untrue. The water was never shut off. That's why this ongoing immoral, involuntary, unwitting experiment is proceeding to this day, with people waiting for that terrifying trip to the doctor, where the doctor says, "You got cancer." And there's this mistake out there, this mistaken assumption that the water was turned off for Charleston and the nine-county area. The problems that the area had and has and will continue to have stem not from the water being turned off, but because the water was poisoned and left running. And it was left running because of profit. See, I mean, your mention of Detroit is what got me going here. Let's compare the two scenarios. On the one hand, a profit-based chemical company that services the coal industry dumped 10,000 gallons of deadly poison into the drinking water supply of the largest city in West Virginia and a nine-county surrounding area that amounts to 300,000 people. The water does not get turned off because the for-profit water company needs to continue to make money, even if the money is being made by running poisoned water through citizens' water meters. Now, take Detroit. Nothing wrong with the water. Clean, pure, clear, cool water. Not a damn thing wrong with it. But again, because of the needs of the market and the overarching desire for profit, people get their water turned off. Water good, turned off. Water bad, left running. Because money. Because money.
And power. Remember, there are major corporations in the state of Michigan that owe millions in water bills and haven't paid it, and yet their water's not turned off. But if you're a poor person in a neighborhood and have no political clout, oh well, your water was turned off. And with that, I'm going to wish everyone a great evening. And remember, folks, if you like what you hear tonight or any time on the horn definitely could use some donations. It isn't like Bob is selling gold or Viagra here.
Well, that's the truth. That's the truth, Will, and I thank you very kindly for bringing it up. We are, well, if something doesn't happen in the next hour and 15 minutes, we will close the week down $180, and we will begin the next week with a $330 hole to fill in.
Well, I guess it's time for people to step up, because this is listener-supported radio. And remember, you can also get good shows at other times. Dr. Bill O'Brien, The Rick Smith Show. And remember, if you want an alternative to what the media is feeding you, we're going to have to support it ourselves, because we don't have our millionaire or billionaire allies funding things because they're all on their pet projects.
Indeed. Thank you, Will.
You know, there's one thing you can do, Bob.
What's that?
Pull the pin.
Yes, yes, I can. And if we come into Monday with a $330 hole, I will pull the pin.
Okay.
And see, I mean, I don't like even talking about this, and everybody knows that, I think. But, you know, we have bills that are due the first of the month, bills that are due the middle of the month, and bills that are due at the end of the month, and all times in between. And this is, it's a constant, you know, it's a constant cycle. We don't get smart metered here. We just get metered with a vengeance.
Yeah. I know you beat me. And every month I'm running the air conditioner.
Yeah, I mean, we run two air conditioners and all the equipment back here in the studio and a few lights, and that's it.
But I'm not on that coal power.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the cheap carbon neutral clean coal? Yeah. Flying bastards. So, you know, anybody that wants to jump onto the PayPal button is more than welcome to, or to use the traditional mail address, which is available on the website as well. I got to give credit where credit's due. I mentioned the Kepler case out in Oklahoma, Stan, and when I was mentioning the story last night, Marty wrote in and said, any mention in the news stories of the skin color of the victim? Not at the time there wasn't, but, yeah, Marty was out in front. Let's see, I'm just killing off a few tabs here. We dealt with friend of ISIS, Brian Fisher. Man, that just knocked me down.
Yeah, that can definitely, even, you know, given Mr. Fisher's propensity to get into all his craziness, that was really over the top.
That's where I have this whole disconnect, because I keep going, it's 2014, it's 2014, it's the 21st century. We had certain expectations of the 21st century. And having a Christian broadcaster side with a bunch of fundamentalist murderers because the people they're murdering are devil worshipers, his word, not mine. That's just one of those things that... No, I'm sorry. That's not... No, that is not allowed to happen in the 21st century. Goodbye. No, that's 15th century stuff. Get back in your little time machine, Brian Fisher, and go away. You know Brian Fisher at the Salem witch trials. You know that Brian Fisher would have been one of the ones putting rocks on poor old Mr. What's his name? More weight. Pressing him to death.
He would have been really bloodthirsty with that deal.
Can I do just a short little story?
Do, please.
Yes.
The other day, other morning, when I was getting ready to waiting on my sister to get here to take my mom and dad's ashes out to the Veterans Cemetery, I look out the window, I hear this door slam, I look out the window, and here's this old car. You know what they referred to as a tuna boat car back in the 70s?
Yeah.
Big ass car. It's like an old Mercury or something with the leather kind of roof thing on it. And anyway, this gal's getting out of the car heading to the neighbor's house right next door to me with a Bible in her hand. And there was no cars across the street, so they didn't send the delegation out of the right side of the car to get the other side of the street. So they pull ahead in this old tuna boat car, and to me it just looked like, oh man, these are religious grifters big time.
Glow in the dark.
The door opens up with an old guy with his glasses on and a white shirt and everything, his Bible in his hand. He starts to get out of the car, and I yell out the window. I said, hey, dude, get right back in that car because I don't want to hear about your sky spook in the sky.
Beautiful. So, did he?
Well, no. He starts walking over to my neighbor's house, and she's not home. So I yell over there. I says, she's not home. And the gal that was trying to grift the house next to me, she comes out and goes, he can't hear you. So I guess he's hard of hearing or something. But he sure heard me when I said, get the hell back in your car. But they don't even pull in the driveway. They just park right in the middle of the street, and it's just like one right, one left. I mean, there's four of them. And every couple of months, they come through the neighborhood. Or they have a van or somebody else. I don't know, but it's just like, didn't you get the message that nobody in this neighborhood wants to hear you?
Yeah, you know what? That's from that story earlier in the evening, Sparky. I don't recall any story where I don't recall ever hearing it happen. You know, some idiots vandalize and attack a Hindu temple, and then they go down the street and do the Kingdom Hall of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Man, if you're a Jehovah's Witness, you know that you have gone. Well, I mean, when the weirdos in Georgia are hating you as much as they do the Hindus, whew, man, you're in trouble. Good things just happened. Thank you to Asa and Henry. Thank you. They took us down to 140 to go. And then Robert in Australia kicked in, and he says, hey, Bob, here's half of it. Now, I would like everyone who is listening to send $1. That should make up the rest. Oh, that would more than make up the rest. So we're at the $50 mark now. So Robert would like to see 50 folks pick in a buck apiece. And that's reassuring. Thank you very much, Robert, and thank you, Asa, and thank you, Henry, and thank you, Jack.
Jack, if you're out there listening.
Yeah, I think Jack may have been. Did I get you right, Jack? You've been having some computer problems? Because we all do sooner or later.
Oh, I don't think he was in last Friday night's group, maybe. But he's usually a regular in the Friday night group.
Is Molly going to be on tonight live?
As far as I know, he'd probably do 3 hours. I mean.
Yeah, the summer's winding down, and Molly's heading back to school, so we'll be. Yeah. He'll be
Monday
dropping.
Through Thursday, the third hour's Memorex now.
Oh, there's one of those silences again.
Well, I was going to ask you something. Have you noticed about the bacon shortage and the price of bacon, Bob?
Yeah, I have. It's going through the roof. Benton's is becoming more and more price competitive. And it's all because of that bacon or all that hog pandemic, right?
Yeah. I mean, when my sister was here the other day and my cousin from the Grass Valley came over, they go to the butcher shop, and the butcher shop, they're real nice down there. They'll vacuum seal as many pounds of bacon as you want so they can freeze it up and feel good about it. So my sister ordered 5 pounds of bacon from my cousin's. They're going up to my rich cousin's mine this weekend. And they'll have a big family reunion up there every year. But I just don't want to travel. My wife doesn't want to travel.
Yeah, you know. In this heat... Stay in the air conditioning as long as you're not getting smart metered, right?
Right. And plus, when the smoke was out, I mean, it's bad for people. I mean, they had a air quality alert yesterday in Redding, I guess. And that's where I was I lived in Redding when the 2008 fires hit and made me sick. Of course, I was a smoker then, and that was maybe made me quit. But I was reading up about the forest fires. It's particulate matter that gets into your lungs, just like mountaintop removal.
Yeah. Hey, and speaking of which, there's a new study that's been released, by the way. And that's something that I've begun asking myself and others now. We have 24 studies that show that mountaintop removal is poisoning people, or that indicate that. How many do we have to have before there's some action? Do we have to have 36, 48, 64, 128, 256? I don't know, but there's another one. Physicians for Social Responsibility and Earth Justice have released a report. Our friends at Earth Justice are just awesome. We love them. they've been a big help to us in working on the AIC Act. So they released an ash in lungs, how breathing coal ash is hazardous to your health. And among the other things noted in this report, coal ash dust, you know, this is after it's been burnt, when all the impurities are hyper-concentrated in the ash. Coal ash dust is inhalable, and lo and behold, there's that particulate matter we've only been talking about for a couple of years. The particulate matter causes inflammation and immunological reactions and increases the likelihood of heart attacks and strokes. The dust, and how does it get to you? The report notes that the dust can get into the air from dry coal ash landfills and from uncovered trucks carrying coal ash, and it presents a hazard to workers handling coal ash as well as nearby residents.
What was that truck carrying that you posted a picture of on Facebook?
Coal. That's a coal truck. Yeah.
Okay, but just the dust that it was stirring up off the road.
Right. Well, I mean, it's not like they pave up there on the site. It's you know, and that's as noted, that's not, you know, Los Plateau dust or you know, the dust from the Lone Prairie or any, that's stuff that's been buried under the earth for millions and millions and millions of years and has recently been exposed. So God only knows what all's in it. Well, no, we know too. There's silica in it. There is aluminum in it. There is probably arsenic in it, barium, cadmium, molybdenum. You know, basically the heavy metal side of the periodic table of the elements. And so that's what that truck is kicking up all the way from on top of the the mountain's corpse, all the way down to the mouth where he drives off to the prep plant.
And then I was going to mention the forest fire ash. Guess where it's going?
Into the river?
No, it goes through the jet stream to Greenland, and it lands on the ice.
Where it helps to melt it.
Yes, so it's contributing to climate change.
And see, that's one of the reasons we have to worry about the climate change that we cause. Things like forest fires, natural occurrences, it's being driven by climate change now, but forest fires happen, right?
Right, and they get worse by drought and
right, and the nasty
little critter called the bark beetle,
and so the harm that they do is magnified by the harm that we do intentionally. There's a difference between a forest fire and, you know, vast plumes of filth going into the air from auto exhaust, diesel exhaust, and, you know, the combustion of say 50 Tomahawk cruise missiles worth of explosives at a time.
Yeah, I mean, the purpose of forest fires, you know, forest fires have been happening for, you know, countless millennia, and their purpose is to cut the excess undergrowth in the forest and help the seed pods of the trees to sprout in the new saplings. You know.
Right. There are natural processes, and then there are intensely unnatural processes.
But the people in Greenland have been noticing the changes on the ice from the. It's not just. Remember the forest fires in Russia?
Sure.
The forest fires from the northern hemisphere around the world. Now, I don't know if the southern hemisphere, because is affecting Antarctica, whether the smoke from Australia's fires is affecting Antarctica at all, but the scientists have said that the fires from the northern hemisphere, you can go out on the ice, there's that show that Years of Living Dangerously.
Yeah.
Leslie Stahl goes out on the ice with this scientist in Greenland, and he points out, the white ice, you'd think it'd be all white, but it's all covered with black sooty shit.
Ew.
And it just looks horrible, and he explains it to him. It causes the ice to heat up faster with the black on it, and it's a result of burning carbon fuels and forest fires, he said. And it's when you see shows like that, you want to go out and slap a Republican on the side of the head.
Yeah, or move them to Siberia. I'm open to that.
And drop them down one of those big old.
No, you don't have, no. I'm not mean, Sparky. I don't want to drop them down one of the big holes. I just want them to build houses where the big holes are going to happen. Just
yeah,
build a
house here and. In a couple of years, maybe your house will go sky high thanks to climate change.
There you go. And, of course, I go back to my old argument.
Just call it a tundra fart.
That's about what it is. Because, you know, the thing is, these are releases of methane gas, but they are not burning. They're not exploding. It's just so highly pressurized that when the permafrost thaws, it's not strong enough to keep the stuff suspended, and it poof. You know, no burning, no combustion, just poof, and all this methane goes up into the atmosphere. Oh, and by the way, coming back to update the first story of the evening, the government of We the People out there trying to build that more perfect union, we've announced a second wave of airstrikes against ISIS, ISIL. Rear Admiral John Kirby, who yesterday said, no, we're not doing that, today said, hey, we've done it twice now. And here's the fun part. The second wave of strikes used a drone to attack a mortar position, and four F-A-18 fighter attack planes hit seven vehicle convoy outside Erbil.
Oh, I want to stand corrected, Bob. It is a George H.W. Bush. I didn't know he had both letters. I didn't remember he had both letters in his name.
Well, I remembered both letters. I thought maybe they just stiffed him on the W to make sure nobody mistook that ship for, you know, dim leader.
Yeah. But Pappy Bush was... That's because he was the youngest carrier pilot in World War II.
And
got that aircraft carrier named after him.
Well, and you know why he was the youngest carrier pilot in World War II, right?
Because of Dad?
Yeah, but why because of Dad? Because Daddy got busted in the Trading with the Enemy Act.
Oh, okay.
And so they had to have some quick cover for the Bush family evil empire, as Bart Kopp called them.
Oh, another thing about the aircraft carrier Bush.
Yeah.
It is the first aircraft carrier to launch a drone. So I don't know if they're using that crazy looking Navy drone off that ship, but they were the first ones to launch a drone and recover it.
I don't know. There's something about all this that says no good can come of it.
And that's the drone's not an MQ-9 Reaper turboprop thing. It is a jet drone.
Wow, I didn't know that. I must not be keeping up with drone technology.
I think it's called the X-47B or something like that. I should get you a real creepy picture of it.
I'm just checking out a story the Angry Indian sent about the humanitarian bombing. Doesn't that just blow your mind? We are engaged in humanitarian bombing.
Mm-hmm.
Oxymoron alert.
Yeah, no kidding. Thanks. Yeah. By the way, I gotta send out some more thanks. Thank you to Sylvia, and thank you very much to Greg. We are done with fundraising, lo and behold, thanks to everybody, and a steady stream of $1 contributions as well coming in response to Robert Nostrelia's call for $91 contributions, and we are well on the way to that. So thank you very much. Thank you, Betsy and Robert and Thomas, and there's the list has gotten rather huge, rather quickly. Thank you, one and all. I like Robert's $1 contribution idea. That's just about everybody can do that, can't they? Can't we? Let's see. By the way, if you want to, going back to what I said about having a bit of a back and forth with the folks at the New York Times, I republished the letter. And you can read the op-ed that I was talking about over on my Facebook page. The piece in question was by David Beckman, and it's called The Threats to Our Drinking Water. And the guy gets a lot right. I'm not taking issue with his assertions about the threats to our drinking water supply. You know, he argues controlling water pollution is not a set-it-and-forget-it endeavor, that it has to be constantly monitored. And Mr. Beckman, by the way, is the executive director of the Pisces Foundation, which is an environmental philanthropy. And he's the former director of the water program at the Natural Resources Defense Council. And his points are well taken. But if we do not understand, I mean, nobody wants to go without water. But we need the critical infrastructure in this country to be able to respond to crises when they happen. And we would not have half the crisis we have in the 9-county area affected by the Freedom disaster, if the water had simply been shut off. Just stop the system. But it was the last thing in the world West Virginia American Water wanted to do, because poison turns meters too, right?
As long as it's fluid.
There you go. By the way, Jim with a note regarding our humanitarian bombing. Guys, I'm going to switch over and take a call real quick, because I can't add phones to the group. But hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Sandra.
Hey.
Long time no talk to.
Yeah, you know. Well, what can I say?
Well, you're out there working your butt off.
But, I just thought I'd check in because I'm, free. for a few minutes, it seems, on Friday here. So, now, the only thing I want, you know, I'm kind of like, let's see. Now, I appreciate them wanting to, you know, provide water and food for those poor people on a mountain. Are you serious? That just sounds like hell on earth. So,
yes.
I'm cool with that. That's what, you know, countries should do, to help each other. But, I'm sorry, what the hell was, the Malian dialogue that is going on with Israel? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
What the hell is that? And also, and it's a dialogue that's in conjunction with us, because we are giving them more weapons to, I don't know. I just am like, well, wait, you're going to save the people in Iraq who, you know, but what's the difference? Because, you know, I'm just confused because
I think you're probably having a little bit of cognitive dissonance like I am, Sandra, because you're running smack dab into a wall that was an Orwellian wall. You know, some people are more equal than other people. Some children some children being bombed and starved are worthy of protection. Other children being bombed and starved aren't.
Right. And I mean, I'm not saying that those people who are getting some help internationally don't deserve it. Don't get me wrong.
No.
But it is sort of, you know, it's a, you know, Israel is an ethnocracy, and there's no reason for them to have the right to exist. What does that mean, actually? Think about that. Canada? Does Canada have the right to exist? How about Spain? Does Spain have the right to exist? How about Israel is a fascist fucking dictatorship with, you know, ideas of running those people, bombing the people until they evacuate Gaza so they can have it for themselves? How about that?
See, I don't find that difficult to believe.
Obama?
Hey, we've been talking for years, Sandra, about the fact that Israel is in the grips of a vicious, fascist-oriented, right-wing autocracy.
Well, no, but it's, Hannah Arendt predicted this bullshit in the 50s.
Yes, she did.
If people are familiar with that woman's writing, and she was, you know, them her folks, and she was like, this ain't gonna work. And sure enough, 60 years down the road, here we are, because that place is pretty scary. And don't get me wrong, I think Hamas, they're a bit dubious. It's like, wait a minute, you might want to not send the rockets over, because this time it looked like the world community is about to say, Israel, you're going to have to lift the siege. You can't just go back to status quo. But Hamas, they couldn't hold on. They have to go ahead and, you know, after the ceasefire was over with, continue with their stupid rocket bombs. So, I'm not dismissing, you know, their antics, but the problem is, you know, Israel is collectively punishing, which if the international community is not in anarchy, like they keep telling us, then that's a war crime.
If committed by any other country on the planet.
Okay, well, it's, you know, I mean, and, you know, we as Americans, I mean, it's shameful, because, no, I didn't see Obama sign a bill for $250 million more in armaments to Israel, and we still ain't given the long-term unemployed crap. You understand how sick
it
is?
Well, do you reckon $250 million would have gotten the water system turned back on in Detroit? You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's because we don't operate, you know, and, you know, where is, who's your buddy that does his show before you?
You talking about Rick Smith?
No, the professor.
Oh, Dr. Bill, yeah, Dr. Bill.
Now, where's Dr. Bill? Because, I mean, you know, this country doesn't operate from a human rights perspective. You know, the Constitution has some people more equal than others from the get. And we're seeing all that play out now. You look at Hobby Lobby, they're like saying, well, no, women, you know, you're not quite human. Or workers who care for people, you're not quite a worker. So basically, you're not quite human. And we can, you know, distribute rights accordingly. So, I mean, this country is in a horrifying state. And the idea that water can be, you know, withheld when your ass is minutes from the largest freshwater source on the goddamn planet, are you fucking kidding me?
Right. Yeah.
I'm
going to speak to Dr. Bill personally because he is, well, I mean, he's very good at what he does and at sussing all of this stuff out. And one of the things that he has argued for a very long time, which I think is proven to be abundantly correct, Sandra, is that the United States is not and never has been worth much at foreign policy. We're just not good at it. I mean, we get stuff wrong both intentionally and unintentionally.
Well, I mean, my favorite sort of thing at the moment is the Obama and his, you know, fucked up legacy, helping out the, men and boys of color. It's like, I'm sorry, this is your only racial justice program, and you're going to leave out fucking women and girls of color? Are you fucking kidding me? So we're back to who has more rights than other people, and obviously black women and girls don't got no rights. So,
no.
I mean, it's some ugly shit. This is really disturbing to me because I'm like, wait a minute, you waited 6 years to pull this out your ass? And it's some public-private partnership that's only going to make black boys and men head of household to make them whole? Give me a break. I am, you know, so disturbed at the moment, so.
Well, there's plenty to be disturbed. There's plenty to be disturbed about. And I guess it's an artificial function of human cognition, but I keep seeing this stuff unfold here, there, Ukraine, and I look up and go, wow, is this 1914 or 2014?
Well, and then, you know, Obama is, he's talking about, oh, we don't know how long, you know, so we're getting sucked right back into this Iraq thing, except this time, these fools have all American weapons. So let's, you know, good luck with that. And let's destroy all the weapons we, taxpayers paid for once again, so these same fucked up people can make money again,
with more armament. Yeah.
And again and again, and the unemployed, the hell with them, and, you know, same old thing, but, I don't know. You know?
No, I don't. And on the other hand, what you talk about with Obama, you know, that's what is defined in this country as rational. Look what the other side is. I mean, I'm not trying to create a false dichotomy or buy into some BS duality, but there are people out there that want to do things that are, I mean, crazy. I mean, get the butterfly net crazy, Sandra.
No, I know, but I just, you know, I'm looking at, you know, we have the Senate and we have the presidency. And, I'm just finding it, all looks like it's just sort of massaging a system that's, completely, broken. And I forget the name of this, some anthropologist did this survey where he was asking, how do you feel about the government at the moment? And to a person, everyone's like, oh, it's a complete joke, across all demographics. I mean, just, you know, people are really disturbed by just how this system isn't working anymore. And you know what that means. That's not a very good sign if you look at history.
No, it's not. And see, that's that you and I have been talking about aspects of this for years, Sandra. what we're watching, you know, we're watching an empire collapse. Because collapsing is what empires do best.
Yeah, and unfortunately, another dark, dark age, isn't that what usually happens when an empire sort of goes away for a bit?
Yeah. Absolute. Well, and the thing is, if you there's a unique set of circumstances that obtain right now. You've got the collapse of empire. You've also, side by side with that, got the collapse of the idea of the nation state. And beside that, you've got climate change. I mean, this is going to make the Dark Ages look like flash photography.
Well, and it's just sort of, it's just bizarre because I'm sort of in awe that they're letting one vulture billionaire completely upend whatever sort of debt restructuring rules that they sort of cobbled together, when President Obama could step in and tell that judge, you need to throw this case out, with the Argentina thing, because
right.
This is affecting a national security issue. But he's not doing that because the singer commands so much power because of his donation and the people he has donating and all that stuff. No one's checking this man. But Argentina, they're not going to completely throw their country to hell behind some asshole who paid $30 million for debt and now he wants, wait for it, $1.3 billion in cash and some Lochner ass hat said yes in New York. It's madness.
It's absolutely nuts. You ask yourself, it's not, the solutions are not intractable, are they, Sandra? I mean,
well,
the Supreme Court, Court part is because for anything to change, you're going to have a whole bunch of different stuff in place. I mean, you would have to have, say, Fat Tony shuffle off this mortal coil, and you'd have to have a president who could appoint a replacement and get that replacement through the Senate.
Well, no, but I mean, I think we're looking at...
When you say Lochner, all the bells and whistles go off for me.
Oh, right, and also, I guess, that's almost an inside chit-chat between you and I, because I don't really think a lot of people are aware of the court, the Lochner court.
I spent an evening trying to lay out exactly what all of that means. And the fact that in 2014, in the 21st freaking century, you got jurists sitting on the court who think that Lochner was brilliant reasoning. That should scare people out of their skins.
Well, I mean, all the whole thing does for me with the various decisions is, show that law is, just a political proposition, and that's it. I'm sorry, I'm done. I'm like, well, no, you're going to tell me what to do with my body? Fuck you. And you and what army is going to enforce this? This is where we're at. And I think that the Supreme Court, the very first Supreme Court justice, his ass was worried about this very first thing when he came up with judicial review. He said, oopsie, we're not supposed to be doing this, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. And it's been downhill ever since. And now the Supreme Court, it's as low as any other institution in this country as far as people's trust in it.
Yeah,
so
and
keep going, Roberts. Keep it up.
But the thing is, and I think this, how can I put this? The rats, Roberts, Alito, Thomas, and Scalia, are going to do what rats do. I think probably the single most disturbing case of the last term to me was the Sweet Granny McCullen case. Because that wasn't the four rats plus Kennedy. That was every single member of the Supreme Court signing on, saying that sweet Granny McCullen's right to wave posters of aborted fetuses was more important than the right of a woman to walk peacefully into a medical care facility. That was a 9-0 majority decision.
Right, and with their 100-foot buffer intact, don't forget, that's a key aspect of that case, is that, wait a minute, you motherfuckers, you are saying that your elite ass is entitled to a 100-foot buffer, but I got to be talked to by some freak, and also when I'm at a goddamn clinic, the police need to do their fucking jobs. Let's talk about that, too, because this whole, like, oh, women's lives. I mean, no, fuck that. You in my face, it's going to go down. I'm done with that, too. You know, people need to step up. Fuck that. And the police need to do their job. And if I may add, they need to move them clinics in a fucking hospital now with the Affordable Care Act. We can get comprehensive care outside of the fucking eyes of these weirdos. Don't get me started.
Oh, no.
I got it all figured out.
I think you do. And, of course, you know, the countdown is on in Texas. You know, it's days now away from the closure of the last clinic.
Yeah, well, no, but see, everyone is, I'm sorry, the left, you know, they're constantly sort of massaging the status quo because, okay, I'm about to get in trouble here, but it's on my own time. Planned Parenthood has they have $336 million in assets. So I don't want to hear them crying about what's going on in Central Texas. You fucking fund the clinic. Do it. But they don't. Because, you know, it's money. About Planned Parenthood, it's all about money. Yeah, I'm coming at them from the left. I don't give a fuck. I found out more
than I ever
wanted to know.
Hey, you and I have had similar learning curves in different disciplines, I guess is the way to put it. Because I've come to the conclusion, you know, living within my own little nightmare, you know, here in Appalachia, mountaintop removal and all that stuff. You know what? If we ended mountaintop removal tomorrow, there are people out there that would have to go get honest work.
Well, and this is the thing with this, all this business that I'm in here in California. Yeah, it's an eye-opener because there's a lot of people who rely on women not getting pregnant, if you get where my drift. And that shit is nasty, okay?
Yeah.
Terrible. Anyway, listen, you know, I'm going to have to go. What happened to your crowd? We can't engage with them with the phone?
If you jumped in, if you sent a Skype request to Sparky, you'd be in the crowd.
I'm just thinking I've taken over the damn show. That's all. So my apologies.
You're part of Friday on the Front Porch. You just got a separate but equal porch, Sandra.
I want a fucking buffer zone. Too.
Yeah.
It's 180 feet.
It's Sandra in the Plessy porch. Oh, I'm gonna burn in hell for that one.
Oh my God! But no, you know the left, they seem to be a lot. We're just getting our asses handed to us from all sides. I have to say.
Well, it's because there's so much stuff we're not very good at, Sandra. I mean, I've talked within the environmental, if we're going to call it that, with the environmental community, it drives me absolutely batshit. We have meetings to plan a conference to discuss a luncheon at which we will determine the agenda for an upcoming seminar.
Oh. Are you kidding me? Do you know I'm dealing with labor. Do you know labor? Oh, let's have a meeting at 12 noon. Bitch, 12 noon? No, labor. I know what you're talking about. I mean, it's madness. It's crazy.
And see, I try really hard, Sandra, to keep from just sticking a piece of aluminum foil on my head and running screaming out into the yard and listening to the fillings in my teeth. But I swear, some of this stuff looks like it was deliberately developed and sort of injected into the left to keep us from ever getting anything done. To sit in a room with 200 people and watch so-called consensus-based decision-making take place?
Oh, God.
I can't. I walk out of the room every time. Because,
well, but have you noticed that, you know, sorry to say, what was the last victory that the environmentalists had? Wasn't it, like, the Clean Water Act?
The Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act.
Well, I definitely am.
If you could, I mean, we're talking about innocuous decisions, and all it takes is one passive-aggressive asshole to sit there and say, all right, now, understand, I'm not throwing a block. I'm not blocking. I just have some concerns, and I think we should discuss my concerns as we go toward consensus. But I'm not blocking. And dude will talk for 2 hours about his concerns. You know, he's basically a living, breathing, in-the-room concern troll.
No. It's too. Oh no. I mean, my favorite is the. Oh, why is this particular, you know, corporate Dem not supporting this progressive, you know, bill or proposition? And it's like, are you that fucking stupid? You know. So yeah, I just have to keep the mouth shut because.
Into the meeting with the NFL Chicago Bears hard hat with the two bottles of liquor and the tubes running into your mouth. It's one or the other. Keep your mouth shut or just, you know, self-medicate.
Oh, my God. Well, anyway, I don't, you know, I'll stop the bitching. I don't even have any, there's not even any pop culture that I can bring up, you know, it's also dire.
We got LeBron going back to Cleveland.
I find that one, you know, I was surprised, but he got buku bucks, so he can do what the hell he wants now, right?
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, I tell you what, so I got some sports stupidity.
Oh, God. Yeah, quick one
because
I have to go, but yeah.
Okay, so you'll have to go over to Fox Sports and find it. I think the guy's name is Clay Travis, and it's he did a series, The Worst Sports Fans in the Nation. Number 8 was West Virginia fans. It's a read-it-to-believe-it thing. I mean, every hillbilly stereotype you can imagine. Go dig it up.
Oh no.
Yeah, I mean, there's like incest, you know, the typical incest, barefoot, ignorant, you know, on and on and on. I'm trying to find it right now just to give you the it's number 8 West Virginia worst sports fans in the country.
Oh God, well I see the NFL is still trying to do damage control on that beat a bitch, miss a game situation.
Yeah, see now there's that one. Yeah. So if you beat your wife unconscious in an elevator, you get suspended for less games than if you pee a little bit of THC into a cup.
But because I'm a bit of an asshole. Let me throw this out there. She wasn't his wife when that happened, but she's his wife now. So I'll just leave that out there. Okay.
Are you telling me the nuptials happened after the knockout punch?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So I'm just leaving that out there on the table because, you know, I'm not going to go as far as that asshole talking about whatever with, what's his name, Stephen A. Smith. But I am sort of like, wait a minute, fiance when it happened and you're the wife now. So, oh.
Hmm. This guy, I just found it. His name is, Clay Travis. And let's, it just, I know you gotta go, but just so you can appreciate this. He says, West Virginia was the only state in America to actually lose population during the 70 years between 1940 and 2010. United States nationwide population surged from 130. Now, bear in mind, this is a sports column. Surged from 130 million to over 308 million. So during a time when the residents in the United States added 185 million people, West Virginia lost 100,000. This is almost impossible to accomplish. Congrats, West Virginia. What was left behind? A hardy bunch of delusional Neanderthal Mountaineer fans who truly believe that West Virginia is a national leader in athletics. They believe this despite the fact that they clearly never attended the school. All fan bases have dumb fans, but West Virginia boasts the lowest percentage of residents in the United States with bachelor's degrees at just 17.3% of the population. So it's quite probable that West Virginia is truly the dumbest state in the nation.
Wow. I mean, hence, when you don't have any water to drink, you know, I'm telling you, that's okay. You know, all that stuff adds up. That's terrible, actually.
And it goes, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. It goes on and on and on. Okay, so what's the dumbest stereotypical West Virginia fan like in his habitat? He works at Walmart, which happens to be the largest private employer in the state of West Virginia. Seriously, you can't even make this stuff up. He doesn't actually attend West Virginia games, but he watches the Mountaineers play in the audio-video section of the Charleston Walmart. This is the only way he can...
Is this supposed to be funny?
Yeah, this is funny.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's, you know, God, I mean, talking about just sort of just meanness in general, that's, it's not even entertaining. It's, ew.
Oh, well, yeah, just one last bit. This is the only way he can watch the game since his double-wide doesn't have access to cable yet. He was suspended from Walmart for a week during last year's Pitt game for carrying his granddaddy's musket, which was used over the past 150 years to shoot both Yankee and Confederate soldiers. Why choose sides when you can sell moonshine to both? Wild hogs, three bears, two hookers who wouldn't accept wild turkeys as payment, and an ornery cousin wife.
Oh, no. Wow.
Speaking of sodomy in the streets, he has two daughters by three women. Don't ask.
Wow, I mean, that's a bit over the top, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, listen, this just came down. Judge rules against the NCAA antitrust suit. That's big.
Oh, that is big. Is that related to to the union issue?
Yeah, I guess it's the revenue. Yeah, it's down to the revenue. Student athlete to share. Yeah, it's down to that. Well, this is interesting. Anyway, it's on that Politico. You can find it there.
Wow, okay.
Okay, listen, I do have to go, but thanks for letting me vent.
Oh, you're more than welcome. It's a delight to hear from you, Sandra. You have yourself a wonderful weekend.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye now. And that, of course, is the incomparable Sandra. And we will go back now, I hope, to the rest of the front porch. Hey, gang.
Hey, Bob.
There you are. Sorry about diving away like that, but...
Oh, no problem. It's always great to hear from Sandra. She is in my contact tech list. All she has to do is turn her Skype on and go green, and I will see her on a Friday night on the front porch.
Okay.
Yeah, I was trying to recruit Angry Indian, but I told him, I said, Sandra done stole the show. And he sends back LOL. So maybe he'll send me a message that he wants to jump in again tonight. But I've been working behind the scenes.
Oh, I can, without a doubt. let me just share a little bit more of this Clay Travis article, because this is special. For the past 48 years, his mother has begun each of his birthday stories by saying, boy, you're awful lucky abortion wasn't legal when I got pregnant with you. Last year, he finally got up the nerve to tell his mother this upset him, and would she please stop telling that joke at his birthday party? His mama pulled the snuff out of her lip and spit and said, joke? Lots of people make fun of West Virginia for having loose standards when it comes to incest, but by God, he will fight you if he has to. He hates stereotypes, at least the ones that don't involve minorities. How many times does he have to tell you he lost his virginity to his second cousin, and she was once removed? That's a big difference. He has no hobbies aside from occasionally shooting BBs at the mailman. although he got interested in genealogy for a while when his mama told him they were direct descendants of Daniel in the lion's den. But when he kept having to loop back up into the family tree, he gave up and went back to drinking moonshine and promising he would strangle Rich Rodriguez to death if he ever tries to come back into the state. Considered driving to Texas for a road game, but realized that the trip would cost 9 months of his yearly salary. Also, since he's never actually left West Virginia before, he believes he needs a passport to travel across state lines. You believe that?
Hey, that shooting BBs at the mailman sounds like fun.
Now. Let's not start anything here.
Oh. They got those little white truck-looking thingies that, with the sliding doors.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Little boxy things. I gotta run out and shoot at the back of the damn thing.
But, I mean, I couldn't believe that when I read the thing. Somebody said it was from a year ago. Maybe. I don't know. But it bounced back up into my feed, and it's like, you know what? That's just, what if it is from a year ago? That's just timeless, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, West Virginia can't catch a break from anybody.
No. And, you know, we tell plenty of fun on ourselves. But that's because if we don't laugh at ourselves, we have to sit around waiting for somebody else to laugh at us.
That's so true.
I mean, do Californians tell California jokes? I mean, I've never heard a California joke.
Geez, I have to think hard.
I've heard some homophobic jokes applied to California. But I've never heard of, you know, an out-and-out, you know, California joke.
Well, Bob, there's actually, if you Google, you know you're from California when.
Oh, really?
That's one, yeah, it was originally circulated by, it's as old as, you know, the World Wide Web is, you know. People were circulating it via emails in the 90s. It was written by someone from L.A., and yeah, it just kind of spread it around the internet. And I mean, that's one, and it's kind of self-deprecating, you know. But it's the only one.
Sergi, that's when you get to the, are you, what kind of Californian are you? Are you a Southern Californian, a Central Californian, or a Northern Californian? Because most people in the world, they always think you're, when somebody thinks about California, they always think about L.A. I mean, they don't think about San Francisco, but they just think about L.A. And we're a big, diverse state, as everybody knows.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things is you know you're from California when you consider 65 degrees and below freezing, you know.
Yeah, well, that's Southern California.
Or when, you know, I'm looking at it right now, you, like, you get mad at the earthquakes for waking you up. You quit believing in sunblock because you're always sunburnt, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
but you can get sunburn anywhere in California.
Oh, speaking of sunburn, my forehead is falling off.
From the shoot?
Yeah.
When are you going to get you a big floppy hat?
Actually, that's being worked on. I had a note today. A dear friend on Facebook has decided, just out of the blue, said, what's your hat size? I'm going to deal with this.
I'm lucky enough to have the natural sunscreen. I've only sunburnt once in my entire life, and I never wear sunblock.
Because the older you get, Bob, the worse it's going to get if you let yourself get sunburned.
Oh, no kidding. Well, now that I have a hell of a lot less hair, I have experienced for the first time in my life a sunburned scalp. And that sucks. a lot. Oh, by the way, we had a note from Diane in Kansas, Stan. Subject line, Sandra is back. Hi, Bob. From the heartland, I am thoroughly inspired by Sandra's take on just about anything. Big fan. Signed, Diane in Kansas, Stan. And thank you to Michael and thank you to Sal for helping out tonight. Thanks to all of you, we will actually begin Monday with our just regular, plain old, boring evening's fundraising goal.
Okay, make sure you put that pin back in the hole extinguisher.
Exactly. Put the candle back. Yeah, the pin's back in.
Okay. Anyway, Sandra was talking about labor in Sacramento. I had a little passing thing with some of the guys in Sacramento since my union is in Sacramento, and I was part of the labor.
Well, you know, Sandra's down in L.A. now.
Oh, she's in L.A., so she's dealing with the L.A. Labor Council.
I don't know. It's probably more statewide given what she's doing.
Oh.
But, yeah. And I guess, you know, my point is that we're so good at not getting, and, you know, I deal more with environmental folks, but we're so very good at not getting anything done. It does. It feels like it's intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, considering the fact that there's documented proof that, you know, there were infiltrators deliberately put into the Occupy movements, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, I would say it's plausible enough to where I believe that's true, flat out true, with 100% confidence, that over the years, that's how, you know, left of the center progressive movements have been subverted is by infiltrators who are just put in there to stop things up.
Well, like I said, I remember sitting in a meeting with a guy who said, if we're going to use Robert's Rules of Order, I'm leaving, because Robert's Rules of Order is just oppressive and it's anti-democratic and it's unfair to people who don't want to learn Robert's Rules of Order.
Oh, good grief. Yeah, that wasn't it. Yeah, I mean, I would be willing to put cash money, and I ain't even got that much cash money, and I'd be willing to put that down if that was an infiltrator, you know? I mean, because that's how you do a meeting, Robert's Rules. I learned that in elementary school.
Yeah. I used to run a lot of union meetings.
Yeah, and you just got to have, I mean, they're called rules of order for a reason. It's not the rules of ordering people around. It's how to get a meeting done and actually accomplish something.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, it's oppressive, dude.
But anyway, I just wanted to comment on Sandra's comment about working with labor. It's like herding cats. It can be.
Yeah, or butterfly wrangling. You know, you can get a little, you can open a can of little Friskies and get some cats to do things.
I mean, every local union has a different agenda, it seems like.
Well, yeah, and half the time they're at odds with each other.
Well, the only time you come together is if somebody's attacking you as a whole.
Right, because some unions do the same work as, you know, Union A may do the same work as Union B. And they'll throttle each other trying to get to work.
Like when they came after us back in the 90s with Proposition 226. I mean, I never saw such coming together. I mean, we had a meeting in the Reading Hall that I've seen people that come out, cops, firemen.
How long did that unity last?
Just for the election.
And then it was back to business as usual.
Well, yeah, they wouldn't come to the Labor Council meetings anymore. But, I mean, it was a packed house when we were going after that. Plus, we had a firebrand of an organizer come out of Sacramento back then. I can't remember his name at the time right now. But I mean, this guy would corner you and have you driving 50 miles planting yard signs and loving it.
Yeah, because that felt like doing something, as opposed to sitting around in a meeting and planning the next meeting to have the conference to plan the seminar.
But I did it just to get away from him. Me and the guy that worked for the sheet metal workers, we went out. I mean, we drove, we must put 100 miles on his car planting yard signs for 226. Just anywhere we could plant them. We had a list of where union members live. We'd pull in their yard and we'd introduce ourselves and then we'd say, can we put a yard sign in your yard? And most of them would say yes, and a few of the old timers you run into that retired. Oh, hell no, I don't want no politics shit in my front yard.
That's a nice,
I get along with my neighbors. If the guy across the street finds out I might be a Democrat, he won't talk to me anymore.
That's the way my neighborhood is, except it's the inverse. There is precisely one Republican within basically the street I live on is an extension. It's the eastern leg, you know, with the E prefix of, you know, a west street here. Because, you know, once you cross Main Street, it goes between, you know, west and east. The east half, however, the east part is only like two blocks that actually have houses on them. Well, in that entire two blocks on which, like, what, a couple hundred people live, there's precisely one Republican. He doesn't put out yard signs.
Hey, before it gets too late, Todd and Kathy, you joined the group. You guys there?
Todd is. Kathy just returned from taking the dogs on a cruise the neighborhood, so.
Hey, Todd.
Hi,
Bob.
Were you guys affected by that water thing?
No, fortunately that was out in the Toledo area, and we are just more or less south of Cleveland, so we missed it probably by maybe 80 miles or so.
And, you know, that's the Toledo water crisis is another case that, you know, the thing that everybody pointed to was, look, Toledo doesn't have any water. Oh, mycocystins from an algae bloom. And, that's just dangerous. But there were very few questions that I saw going, gee, why is there an algae bloom in Lake Erie?
Well, yeah, it hasn't been cleaned up as much as people think, and what has been has since been trashed again. And then let's add in, I would call it climate change, but it's more effective to call it global warming, and it heats all the water up, and it spreads like wildfire.
And
so,
and there's a ton of agricultural runoff into Lake Erie.
Right, yes. That's a lot of farms out that way.
And that facilitates the growth of the algae and the warm temperatures and the warmer water, and bang, recipe for disaster.
Hello. Hello there.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Right.
So, yeah, it was. I saw that on the news this weekend, and immediately my thoughts went down to you and the folks in West Virginia that actually still had water, you just couldn't drink it anymore, and the people at Detroit who didn't have water, but you could still drink it if you had it, and thinking that, wow, we were sitting on a nice, big, freshwater lake, part of the world's largest or world's second largest amount of fresh water, and damn, nobody can drink it from around here.
Water everywhere, nor any drop to drink.
Right, yeah, but it's just really, I wanted to know, and I didn't see it on the news, that if they turned all the lights off and turned a black light on, if it would actually glow green, because I think it'd be really neat if it did, we could have a party on the beach out there.
Jesus, Todd.
Hey, there's an upside to everything. You just got to learn how to look at it the right way.
Absolutely.
Did you hear about the other thing they're talking about with the bloom?
Not sure.
The mussels, the hordes of invasive mussels that plague the Great Lakes ecosystem, the mollusks known as zebras.
Zebra mussels, yeah.
Quagga, it's Q-U-A-G-G-A mussels arrived from Eastern Europe in the late 1980s by latching onto boats and have since spread throughout the Great Lakes. And in terms of water quality, these critters are a reverse filter. They remove sediment and food particles out of the water, sapping the resources native mussels and fish need.
Yep,
they leave dangerous elements in place. Invaders are picky and don't absorb toxic forms of the algae known as
microcystin, yeah.
Yeah, leaving it to collect on the harmful blue-green algae blooms that collect on the surface.
Yeah, and those zebra mussels end up clogging a lot of water intakes, which, you know, if it's going to have the blue-green algae, may or may not be a bad thing if the water intakes get clogged. But, those zebra mussels have been an issue for a long time, kind of like the snakehead fish that are kind of,
those are some ugly sons of bitches.
Around.
Those came from Asia, didn't they?
I think so.
I heard a good term the other day. I forget who said it. Might have been Charlie Pierce on Stephanie Miller, but he said you can put a leash on a rattlesnake and call it a poodle, but it'll still bite you.
That's about it.
Well, sounds pretty accurate.
I don't know how you'd get the leash to stay on the rattlesnake, though.
I just thought that was very strange and funny. Being a former poodle owner.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. A few years ago when we lived in Reading.
Well, we have run up against the end of things. It's time to close out. So thanks, Sparky, again for all your dedication to moderating this group. It's good to have you come in, Todd. Larry, good to see you, even though you got in late. Sergio, thanks for your contributions. And John, you're very quiet, but it was nice to have you there. So we will.
Thank you, Bob, also, and apologies for the arriving late at the party. And last week we had our little town festival here with the parade and a bunch of, fair food and the whole bit. So I didn't want 2 weeks to go by without at least popping in and saying hi to everybody.
I'm glad you did. Y'all have a wonderful weekend. Thanks to everybody who helped us make our fundraising goal for the end of the week. Thank you, Diane and Sal, and thank you, thank you, Michael. Thank you, Betsy. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you, Robert in Australia. Thank you, Robert, who's not in Australia. Thank you, Sylvia. Thank you, Asa. Thank you, Henry. And thank you, Jack. Thank you all very, very much for all you do. Thank you, Kevin in Colorado Springs. Thank you for all that you do to keep all of this going. The Skype group will continue post-Malloy at about 12:05 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And if you want to jump in there, send a contact request to Sparky Dunk on Skype. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to everyone who forms and makes so vital this little community of ours. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and 8.